some kind of apparition, or he doesn't come and speak audibly directly to anyone anymore. That's the way he did it in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he speaks to us through his word and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. But God desires for us to know him. God reveals himself through creation. He reveals himself through his son Jesus and through the word, and again through providence. Creation reveals the splendor and power of God. But creation in revealing God is limited in that it can't show us, or if you would, it can't verbally speak to us. So therefore, God has revealed himself in diverse ways through his son, again, and through his word. And Christ is seen in the person, or Christ reveals to us God. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "Glory, the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." Stay with me now. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that God knows when every sparrow dies. I use this one a lot because I like to think about growing up, taking our 12-gauge shotgun and going into the pasture in the woods and doing things that we won't say. But sparrows fell that day, as they fell a lot. On the farm, you weren't allowed to shoot pretty birds except blue jays. Blue jays are mean. They don't have a reason for living other than they are pretty. When you grow up in the country, that's the way it is. There are billions of sparrows. Listen, billions and billions of sparrows. And the Bible makes it clear that God knows every sparrow that dies. God attends every sparrow's funeral. It's amazing, isn't it? And he goes on to say, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, when he's teaching his apostles, he says to them, if God knows and attends every funeral of every sparrow that dies, aren't you more valuable than a sparrow? And that was a rhetorical question. The answer is yes. In fact, mankind is the center of God's creation. God desires us to know him, because he desires a relationship with us. Jesus displayed what the Father is like. When Jesus walked on this earth for 33 and a half years, people bumped into him, not knowing they bumped into God. And it was Jesus Christ who revealed to us what God is like. Well, you say, what is God like? Well, he's compassionate. How do we know that? Well, we know it because the Word says it, the Bible says it, but we also know it because Jesus was compassionate. And the Bible says that we see God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when we see Jesus Christ heal the sick, when we see Jesus Christ heal the blind man, when we see Jesus Christ touch the leper, we see the compassion and we see the tenderness of God. I'm thankful we have a loving God. How do we know he's loving? He loved Judas. If Jesus, we know Jesus Christ knew all things. He knew Judas was going to betray him. Why didn't he just cut it off at the pass? When he first met Judas, he could have just said, hey, you're going to betray me. He'd gone. I'm thankful God didn't make us robots. Amen. Gave us a free will. You say, preacher, why is there so much evil in the world? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Free will. Had God made us like robots, then he would have received no praise and no glory and no relationship of our own free will. We'd just been robots and did it because we were told to, because we were programmed to. But God gave us a free will. And because of sin, because of mankind's sin, we have suffering in the world today. Because of mankind's selfishness, we have suffering in the world today. But we have a compassionate God, a loving Father, who loved Judas Iscariot, who loved the thief on the cross. Jesus Christ is dying on the cross. His blood is coming out of his hands and his feet. And he says to the thief next to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The thief on the cross, as he's in agony and as he's dying, today thou shalt be with me. He loved the thief on the cross. That's love, isn't it? Amen. By the way, no greater love hath any man than a man lay down his life for his friends. As Jesus displayed on the cross, displayed the ultimate, ultimate love. And that's the sacrificial love that he did on Calvary. He loved Peter. Peter, who denied him three times. He said in John 14, Jesus said in John 14, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Jesus' words, if you see me, you've seen God. He was God in the flesh. Why? Because he wants us to know him. He desires to have a relationship with us. Desires to have a relationship with us. Number two, to experience our lives. He was tempted in all points like we are. Hebrews chapter 2 says, yet without sin. He came to live a life, to experience the life that we experience, yet without sin. In other words, he came to experience, and he experienced hunger. He knew what it was like to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning like I did last night, and I was thirsty. And I had to walk all the way into the kitchen to get a drink of water. I think we should have something like a little spigot that comes out of the wall. I'm telling you, they put water everywhere now, right, in a home? Really? I mean, you now have the ice maker water behind the refrigerator. Before, you had to, you know, break the little ice things out of the little, y'all know what this motion is? The millennials don't, and this Generation Z. Used to get ice, you had to fill up ice trays, and you put them, it was liquid water out of the faucet, and you put it in the freezer, and you had to wait like a day, and you come back and you pull those out, and you could break them and put them in an ice bucket or something. You could also make popsicles like that. Put little toothpicks in them. Squirrel, yeah. Jesus Christ experienced what it's like to be thirsty. Hello? He experienced what it's like to experience betrayal from his own friends. Peter, who said, Lord, I'll never deny you. Lord, I'll die for you. Denied him three times. He experienced all those things in order that he might, again, have that relationship with us that he so longly desires. I'm thankful Christianity is not a religion. It's not a set of rules. It's a relationship. Jesus Christ experienced heartache, made the trip to Lazarus' home after being called there because Lazarus was sick. Lazarus' two sisters had asked him to come. Lazarus, your friend is sick. And he gets there, it's too late, he's already dead. And as Jesus approached the tomb, the Bible says, the shortest verse in the Bible, most of you know, Jesus wept. Now understand, probably some of that was weeping because of the lack of faith of those around him. But the primary interpretation of that is that he was sorrowful that his friend had died. He experienced sorrow. Our Heavenly Father sent his Son to this world in order that we might know God in a greater and a more wonderful way, in order that Jesus Christ might experience our experiences. And then number three, to show us and to be an example of how we should live. How we should live. The Bible says there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, that he lived a life in order that he might leave us an example that we might what? Follow in his steps. Follow in his steps. We as Christians ought to live a life. If you're born again, you're a child of God, your desire ought to be to follow in the steps of Jesus. To live a life as Jesus lived his. A life of compassion. A life of tenderness. A life of love. Hello? That we are to follow in his steps. So we ought to be loving, compassionate, and tender with our children, with our spouses, that we ought to be selfless with our neighbor and with our coworkers, that we ought to be kind and gracious people, that when people see us, they ought to say, hey, there's something different about him, or there's something different about her. And it's because of the life we live out is different than what the world is, because the world is selfish by nature. They're looking out for number one. When we're looking out, we should be looking out for them. Jesus, Paul said that we ought not, every man ought not to look on his own stuff, but every man also on the things of others. We ought to care more about them out there than our own life. You say, well, that's the opposite of what the world teaches. Exactly. Yeah. Jesus Christ lived a life of love, compassion, and mercy, and tenderness. And we ought to follow in his steps. That's what Peter said. That's what Paul said. He said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Why did Paul want to know Jesus so much? Why did he want to get closer to Jesus? Why did he want to gain a fuller understanding of Jesus? Why did David say, as the deer, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God? Why did David want to live, or why did David want to know God more? Because he wanted to be more like God, more like Jesus. Do you want to be more like Jesus? If you're a child of God, you ought to be. And one of the reasons why God sent his son, one of the reasons why God became flesh, in order that we might follow in his steps. To follow in the steps of Jesus, we need to walk as he walked, according to 1 John 2:6. Again, following his steps. Christian, do you desire to be like Jesus? Ought to be your goal. Paul said, this one thing I do. He said, I press toward the mark. What is the mark? It's Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a life lived for him. Amen. It's a life lived like him. You say, well, I can't live like Jesus. I can't be as compassionate, tender, and all those things as Jesus was. No, none of us can. But the grace of God can enable us. And the grace of God can help us and empower us to live a life that is different than what the world lives. Jesus said, be holy, for I am holy. He took the Old Testament scripture where God told the Jews, be holy, for I am holy. And Jesus Christ in the New Testament tells us to be holy, for he is holy. That means he expects us to live a righteous life. He expects us to live a separated life. He expects us to live a life that is consumed with knowing him and being like him as a Christian, as a child of God. God sent his son in order that we might know him, in order that he might experience what we experience, in order to show us and be an example of how we should live. And then lastly, and this is the most obvious one, he came that he might save us. Amen. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. What he said to Joseph, he shall save his people from their sins. The Bible says, or Jesus said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. He gave his life for us. He came to save us. Luke 19, verse 10. In fact, Luke 19, verse 10 is the theme of the entire book of Luke. And it's Jesus when he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save us. He came to rescue us. Why do you know, it's one thing, as I used this last Sunday or Wednesday night, I said when I was 5 or 6 years old, I was in the buoy lake and I began to drown. I fell out of a little blow-up canoe. I fell off and I couldn't reach the bottom and I couldn't swim. And so my mom came over and saved me. She rescued me. She picked me up, kept me from drowning. I'm glad she saw me. It's one thing to be rescued. It's another thing to know that you need to be rescued. Many people today just go about their everyday life thinking everything is fine and dandy and don't even know that they need to be rescued. I can tell you this morning, we need to be rescued. Amen. So many out there today who are living life every day, the mundane things of life, with no peace and no contentment and very little joy. Well, Oh, they'll do things that will create happiness in their life. They might take a trip to the Caribbean or take a cruise, or they might, they might go to a football game or watch a game and maybe get their minds off things. Some go to alcohol for that, to get away from the problems that they may be facing, or they use drugs, and some use all various things. The world offers various things to cure mankind's ills, but none of those cures are lasting. Most of them last just a few minutes, if not a few hours, and maybe a few days, and then you're right back where you were. Amen. But can I tell you this morning, Jesus Christ came to save us from the penalty of sin. Amen. He came to save us from the power of sin, and one day will save us from the presence of sin. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning, you're watching on the internet. Can I just tell you this morning, the main reason Jesus Christ came to this earth was to save us from our sins. Amen. To save us. This morning, have you been rescued? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I'm thankful that God desires us to know Him. That God did not just create the universe and wind it up like a clock and then throw it into space and then just walk away, not to come back until He feels whatever. No, He's daily involved. He's involved in our everyday life. He cares for us. And He came to this earth. The Creator became part of His creation in order that He might save us. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Salvation is not found in, again, baptism or a church membership or being a good person. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection. By simply putting your faith in Him and Him alone. It is transferring your trust from whatever you're thinking gets you to heaven to Him alone. It's transferring your trust, your faith, and whether that be in your works, whether that be in your baptism, whether that be in your giving of to the Red Cross or the Salvation Army or whatever it may be, and transferring that trust to Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is free. The angels came to the shepherds in the field and said, "We have good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Our Savior came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, not for sins He did, but He died for our sins. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Our chastisement was upon Him, but by His stripes we are healed. He died for us. They buried Him. He didn't stay buried. 3 days later, He rose from the dead, having paid for our sins in full. What a God. What a Savior. What a loving, loving Savior who humbled Himself for us. He became man that we might know Him. By the way, the greater you know Him, the more you can be like Him. If your purpose as a Christian, which it is to glorify God, the more you know Him, the greater you can be like Him. He came not only that we might know Him, but that we might have commonality. He might experience what we experience. We might have an example to live by. He came to save us. He is our Redeemer. Let's all stand. Our Redeemer, our Savior. And I love the expression of the New Testament, friend. Isn't that amazing? We're going to sing page 164 after we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You and we thank You for sending Your only begotten Son into this world in order that we might know You in a greater way. Lord, help us as Christians to long to know You more in order that we might be more like the example of Jesus that You sent for us. And Lord, I pray this morning if there's some watching or some here in the auditorium this morning who have never been saved, they've never been rescued from their sin, may Your Holy Spirit impart to them and speak to them in that still small voice. May they see their lost condition and their need to be rescued, And Lord, we just pray they might accept you today. Today is the day of salvation. Lord, let them see the need for that. And Lord, again, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.